Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Samech Tes. We started yesterday the seventh parak of the Masechta here in Shabbos, and we started Klal Gadol. Klal Gadol is now the beginning of the Gemara's discussion regarding Malachos. In a couple of days from now, we're going to be discussing exactly what are the 39 Malachos of Shabbos that comes up in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. But before we get to that Mishnah, from here until that Mishnah, we're going to be discussing the principle of Malachos in more general terms. And as we started the Mishnah yesterday, we're discussing really what is the nature of a Karban Chatzos, when is a person going to be Chayav Karban Chatzos, and the Mishnah set forth for us yesterday three categories of how many Karban Chatzos a person would need to bring when violating Shabbos B'Shogeg. The first category of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday is Shochech Iker Shabbos, a person forgot the concept of Shabbos altogether, meaning he historically knew about Shabbos, but he forgot about Shabbos altogether, the entire entity, the institution of Shabbos. And under that umbrella of having forgotten, he violated many Shabbosos and many Malachos. When all said and done, when he remembers now all that was forgotten, so then he has to bring one Karban Chatzos. That was category number one. Category number two of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday is Hayodea Iker Shabbos. He knows about Shabbos, but he just simply forgot as he was approaching every single Shabbos, he forgot that that particular day was Shabbos. And so his mistake is rooted in the fact that he just simply forgot that it was Shabbos. Had he known it was Shabbos, he would have not done any of the Malachos. Under those circumstances, he has to bring one Karban Chatzos for every Shabbos that he violated. That was the second category of the Mishnah. And finally, the third category of the Mishnah is that he knows it's Shabbos. He wakes up, he knows that today's Shabbos, but what he just simply forgot was about various Malachos, and he violated various Malachos. Under those circumstances, he has to bring a Karban Chatzos for every Malacha that he violated. Each Malacha represents its separate, independent violation of Shabbos. And so therefore, you got to bring a Karban Chatzos for every Malacha that you violated. Yesterday in the Gemara, we saw fascinating machlokus between the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel on one side, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other side. Let's say you had somebody who was a Tinok Shenishba, somebody who historically never learned about Shabbos, raised in captivity, or a Gershon is Gayer Lebein Anachrim, somebody converted amongst the non-Jews, which, as we pointed out yesterday, most unusual set of circumstances. But again, the idea is that that individual never heard about Shabbos. What would be the halacha there? So according to Rav and Shmuel, so when that person learns about Shabbos, he's got to bring one Karban Chatzos. Just like the person who forgot Iker Shabbos has to bring one Karban Chatzos, this individual as well has to bring one Karban Chatzos. That is the Shita of Rav and Shmuel. Now, that Shita of Rav and Shmuel, as we pointed out yesterday, is fascinating because what it speaks to is the idea that ignorance is not going to be a good enough excuse. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, and this is because we have to have this conversation carefully, Rav and Shmuel are not saying that they're subject to any kind of onish. They're not subject to any kind of punishment per se. What they are subject to is bringing the Karban Chatzos. So yes, education is a responsibility, and knowing the halachos is our responsibility, but they are not saying that one is going to get punished for lack of knowledge. What they are saying, however, is that one has to bring a Karban Chatzos, which is just simply an expression of the liability, the responsibility that a person has, and he needs to know the halachos. Okay. Anyway, but that is the shita of Rav and Shmuel. And Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish say no, that the for the person who was Nishba, a Tinok Shenishba, the child raised in captivity who never learned about Shabbos, never heard about Shabbos, so for that individual, there's no liability whatsoever. He violated many Shabbosim, but out of ignorance, out of total ignorance. And so for that individual, he does not have to bring a Karban Chatzos when he does, in fact, learn about Shabbos. So we saw this machlokus yesterday between Rav and Shmuel on one side, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish on the other side. We spent a lot of time yesterday how to read their positions into the Mishnah. Okay. And then what we learned yesterday is that this Machlokas HaMarayim, in fact, is really a Machlokas HaTanayim. And on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, we went through a Braisa. And the Braisa treated us to a dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Munbaz. Munbaz takes the following position. Munbaz says that when you have a Tinok Shenishba, sorry, let's start with Rabbi Akiva. I'll come to Munbaz back in just a moment. Let's start with Rabbi Akiva. When you have a Tinok Shenishba, And a Gershon is Gari Bein Anachrim, somebody who had no Jewish education whatsoever, no Jewish background whatsoever. And I say that we're describing somebody who doesn't live in any kind of Jewish environment. So not even through osmosis. And that individual violated many Shabbosos. So the Braisa says you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas, meaning that is the shita of the Tanakhama, the Braisa. That is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. And as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that is in alignment with the shitas of Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, the Braisa also brought in the position of Munbaz. And Munbaz says that such an individual would be pater. And Munbaz said the following in front of Rabbi Akiva. He said to Rabbi Akiva, you know, the mezid is referred to as a chote. The shogig is also referred to as a chote. And just like a mezid is only going to be liable if he had a yediyah, so too the shogig is only going to be liable if he had a yediyah. Now, that obviously is very difficult. We pointed this out yesterday, and we're going to explore this idea in greater detail today. That according to Munbaz, in order to be considered a shogig chayv karban chatas, you must have a yediyah. You must have had knowledge. And that means that according to Munbaz, if you never had any knowledge whatsoever, you'd be pater. And Rabbi Akiva says to Munbaz, well, you can't be serious. And I'm just simply going over, I'm paraphrasing the debate back and forth between Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says back to Munbaz, you can't be serious. Meaning you're going to tell me that shogig you have to have a yediyah, and by mezid, you have to have an yediyah, and by shogig you have to have a yediyah as well. Well, let me ask you a question, says Rabbi Akiva to Munbaz. You know, by mezid, the yediyah comes at the time that you're violating the Avera. So by shogeg, you're telling me now that the yediyah has to come at the time of the Avera? And you realize that if that's true, so then how is it a shogeg? Which the Gemara later on today is going to ask that question. But if that's true, then how is it a shogeg? If you knew at the time that you were violating the Avera that you are that this is usur, so how can you call that shogeg? And the dialogue kind of ends awkwardly over there. And that's pretty much the back and forth that we had between Rabbi Akiva and Munbaz. And what comes out now, as we ended off yesterday, and as we're just doing a quick review in the beginning of this morning, so the debate that we have between Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Meir Shlakish is really also the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Munbaz. With all that stated, we are now prepared to continue and further and advance the discussion. And we are picking it up right where we left off yesterday with the words, my time of the Munbaz. Now, what is the basis behind the Shita of Munbaz? Meaning, Munbaz is of the opinion that just like Mezid, you have to have a Yediyah Shogi, you also have to have a Yediyah as well. Now, again, at this point in time, I can totally understand if that just simply doesn't make sense or it doesn't sound right. How can you have a Yediyah by a Shogi? But right now, let's just say it and we'll understand it better as we go through the Daf. So my time, the Munbaz, what's the basis behind Munbaz? We're on the very bottom of some Chesamud Beis, about 7 lines from the bottom. So Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Tarachas Yalachem La'oseh B'shkagah. So in Parsha Shlach, when the Torah introduces us to a carbon chatas that a person brings for being Ovid of Vodazar B'shogeg, so the Torah there says, Tarachas Yalachem La'oseh B'shkagah. It's one set of laws. For anyone who does a B'shkagah, V'samech Lei, and juxtaposed right next to it, V'anefesh Asher Tasa B'yad Ramah. And the Torah says that if a person does it intentionally, side by side, the Torah puts the person who violates Avodah Zarah b'shogeg and the person who violates Avodah Zarah b'mezid. Shogeg l'mezid, hikish shogeg l'mezid. Ma'mezid shayis al yediyah, shogeg shayis al yediyah. And so now the comparison is very clear. Just like by mezid you have to have a yediyah in order to qualify as an intentional act, so too by shogeg as well. That's the drasha of Munbaz. V'rabanan. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, who fundamentally disagree. And they say by Shogeg, you don't have to know about the Avera at the time that you're violating the Avera. So what do they do about the Hekesh? V'rabanan, hi. Torah achas my avdilei, mi baile lechide, makrile, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lebrei. So as far as what the Chachamim are going to do, they're going to use it the same way Rabbi Yeshua taught his son the following. The Pasuk says, Torah achas yalachem lo sebesh gaga, uksiv v'chis yishku v'lo sasu, is called mitzvah sa'ila. V'ksiva ha-nefesh asher ta'aseh b'yad ramah, huksha kulam la'avodah zarah. What the Torah is doing in Parsha Shlach is that the Torah is creating an equivalency, an equation between avodah zarah and all other shkagos. And that means to say, huksha kulam la'avodah zarah, ma'la ha'landa v'shachayav nazdo nekarsh v'shigasu chatas. So just like Avodah Zarah is something where, if done intentionally, one is subject to a kares penalty. And it's more than kares. It's also a misa penalty, but we're just talking about the carbon chatzas aspect of it. That's why right now we're focusing only on the kares. So just like by Avodah Zarah, one is going to be subject to the kares penalty. V'shegagasor chatzas av kol davar shechayav nazdan kares v'shegagasor chatzas. That is going to be the benchmark in which, if somebody violated the kind of avera where, if done intentionally, one is subject to the kares penalty. If one does it unintentionally, so then one is going to bringing a carbon chatas. So what the Torah is laying forth in Parsha Shlach is just simply defining when a person is going to be bringing carbon chatas. It has to arrive at the kind of iser where it's an iser kares. That is what the Chachamim are going to do with those psukim in Parsha Shlach, and thereby no longer using it for that which Munbas taught us. Okay. So we have, again, set ourselves up, this machlokus between Munbaz and the Chachamim, right? It's Rabbi Akiva, but we're going to call it the Chachamim. It's the Munbaz versus the Chachamim. And the machlokus is as follows. In order for there to be a case of shogeg, so the Chachamim take the position which is the one we're most comfortable because it's the one we hear all the time. Shogeg means what? Shogeg means that at the time you're violating the Avera, you have lapsed into a state of forgetfulness. You forgot that the Torah prohibited it. That is the shita of the Chachamim. And Munbaz takes a really unusual position that no, that if at the time, that in order for it to be considered a shogeg, you have to remember at the time that it was in fact an avera. Now, you have to have a yediyah at the time. Now, again, how does Munbaz arrive at that position? The answer is he has a drasha, like we saw just moments earlier. But what does that mean? And the question, the Gemara phrases the question so beautifully, so the Gemara wants to know now, so according to Munbaz, so what were you a shogeg in? There has to be differentiation between mezid and shogeg. Mezid means I intentionally violated the avera. Now intentionality is based on the fact that I know that it's usher, and I'm doing it anyway. Shogeg means I'm unaware. But if according to Munbaz, the case of shogeg, the chi of carbon chatas is only going to be brought when you have knowledge at the time that you violated the Avera, so how then is it shogeg? So it must be that according to Munbaz, there has to be an aspect of it that you forgot. What aspect did you forget? And the Gemara answers, so, kagon, sheshogeg bekarban. So according to Munbaz, the shogeg is that you forgot at the time that you would be chayv to bring a karban chatas. Meaning if at the time that you violated the Avera, you lapsed into a state of unawareness, having forgotten that you knew that it was an aver, you knew the Torah prohibited it. But what you forgot is that the Torah is going to require you to bring a karban chatas. That is going to be the shogeg in which you would have to bring a karban chatas. That is the shogeg according to Munbaz. The Rabbanan, now according to the Chachamim, shigeg is karban, lo shma shigega. The Chachamim's counter argument, their response would be, that's not shogeg. Shogeg has to be in the Avera itself. The fact that the Torah prohibits it and the fact that the Torah tells me not to do it, that has to be the Shogeg. The Shogeg cannot be that I know that's wrong, I know the Torah prohibited it, I just forgot that if I did it, I'm going to have to bring a karban. You can't describe that as a Shogeg. That's mazid according to the Chachamim. And so, according to the Shita of Munbaz, the example of Shogeg in the Torah is one in which you knew that it was Aser. At the time when you violated, you knew it was Aser. It's just that you forgot that there would be a Karban Chatzos responsibility, liability, if you violated the Avera. Okay? Certainly a difficult Shita for us to try to process and give full understanding to, or at least I'm speaking on behalf of myself. But nevertheless, that is the Shita of Munbaz, and of course the Chachamim disagree. Okay. So now, let's leave the world of Munbaz for just a moment. Let's enter into the world of the Chachamim. So according to the Chachamim, what's a classic example of shogeg? It means that at the time when I violated the Isser, I forgot that it was Aser. Okay, so this is the example of shogeg according to the Chachamim. But the Gemara wants to know now, can we even further fine-tune and give finer definition to the Shita of the Chachamim? What exactly are the parameters of shogeg according to the Chachamim? V'rabbanan shigega b'mai. And here we're going to spend a good amount of today's daf discussing a fascinating machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of what exactly is the definition of shogeg according to the shita of the Chachamim. So, Rabban Shigabamai, Rav Yochanan, Amar Kigon Sheshagab Bekari Safa Pishi, Hizid Belav. And Rav Yochanan takes a really interesting position, and he says that the definition of shogeg, according to the Chachamim, is where what you forgot is that there would be a karis penalty. Meaning, let's say, for example, Shabbos violation. So you know it's Shabbos, you know that you're not allowed to do malachas on Shabbos, but at the time when you violated the malacha, so it escaped you, you forgot that there is, in fact, a karis penalty for Shabbos. Even though, as far as the violation of Shabbos is concerned, you remember it, even at the time that you did it, that you committed it, that there is a, there's an Isser Shabbos. According to Rav Yochanan, that qualifies as shogeg. Now remember, let's organize the Gemara really well. We left the sheet of Munbaz right now. We're not discussing within the sheet of Munbaz. We're only having a discussion within the sheet of the Chachamim. And even within the sheet of the Chachamim, Rav Yochanan is opening us to the idea that even though you know what you did is wrong, you just forgot the full Isser of the Torah, in that on Shabbos one would be subject to the Karis penalty, that would be considered a shogeg, and therefore you'd be chai v'karben chatas. Reish Lakish amar shishkog b'la v'kareis, and Reish Lakish takes the position which I would call the more intuitive position. You could certainly argue with me, but I call the more intuitive position. And that is, what is shogeg? Shogeg means that at the time that you violate, you forgot that it was usser. You forgot the isser altogether. You forgot that there's a karis penalty. You forgot that there's a lav. You forgot that that the Torah prohibits it altogether. That is the definition of shogeg according to Reish Lakish. I'm a Rava, my time is the Reish Lakish, I'm a Kra, and now the Gemara is going to go over the back and forth in terms of where does each get their position from. So we start off with explaining Reish Lakish. The Pasuk says, Asher lo sa'aseno, ve'ashem. The Torah says that what the person forgot is that the Torah says, lo sa'aseno, don't do it. Now that obviously is speaking to the lav of the Isser. And that person now is going to be guilty, meaning having to bring a karban chatas. Ashi yishkog b'lav v'karei sheba. And that means to say, says Reish Lakish, that the Torah is teaching us that in order for it to be a shogeg, you have to have forgotten both the fact that it's a lav and that it's also an Isser Karis as well. Rav Yochanan hai kra de Reish Lakish mayavilei. So what does Rav Yochanan do with that pasuk of Reish Lakish? Because he disagrees with that position. So mevayilei l'chidatanya, he uses it to teach us another drasha. And that is me'ama ares, pra'la momar. The Torah says, who's going to bring in karban chatzas? It has to be a member of the nation, somebody who is on the reservation, somebody who's a mummer, somebody who rejects Torah, is off the reservation. He does not bring a karban chatzas. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon asher lo sa'aseno ve'ashem. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar takes what seems to be a very similar position, and that is that somebody who refuses to, who would not have recanted from his position, and somebody who would have stubbornly continued doing the act. And if you would have asked him at the time, hey, did you know that this was usser? Oh, he says, oh, thank you for reminding me. And he would continue doing the isser. So that person is not eligible to bring a karban chatas. It seems to be very similar to the position of the Tanakama. But anyway, but the point the Gemara is making is that he learns it from the pasuk of Asher lo sa'aseno v'ashem, and Hashem yediyasa maybe karban al shigasa lo shami yediyasa nechayev eno maybe karban al shigasa. The person who is only going to retract from his position, that person would bring a karban chatas. Meaning, if at the time they violated the aver, you say to him, hey, do you realize that that's wrong? And he said, thank you for reminding me, thank you for telling me, and he stops doing it. So that person would bring a karban chatas. But the person who violated the aver b'shogeg, and even if you told them it was wrong, wouldn't have stopped, that person does not bring a karban chatas. And we learned that from the pasuk, and that is what Rav Yochanan does with the pasuk of Reish Lakish. And so here we are now in the middle of a major debate on Merayim between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding what is the parameters of shogeg according to the Chachamim. Again, Reish Lakish's position, which I would describe as more intuitive, is that the shogeg is that you forgot that the Torah prohibited it altogether. You forgot that there was an Isser Karis and you forgot that it's a lav. And Rav Yochanan takes the position in that as long as you forgot that there was an Isser Karis, so then that considers shogeg, even though at the time when you did it, you knew that it was a lav. Okay. Tana. And within this debate now, we discuss a Mishnah coming up. Avos Malachos Arbem Chaser Achas. The Mishnah, after enumerating all 39 Malachos, tells us that there are 39 Malachos. V'havinam ba, and we are going to ask the question. Minyan Alamali, why does the Torah give us a number? V'amar Rav Yochanan Shim Asim Kulam Be'alam Achad Chayev HaKol Achas V'Achas. And Rav Yochanan says that let's say you do every one of the 39 Malachos. That is a very busy Shabbos. You do every one of the 39 malachas, and you do it all in one state of unawareness, you would be chayv on every one of the 39 malachas. And so hechi mishkachala bizadon Shabbos v'shigas malachos. Now the Gemara says now exactly what's going on over here. Meaning, what exactly is a scenario in which you have forgotten about all 39 malachos? And the example would be Zadon Shabbos, meaning you woke up in the morning and you knew today was Shabbos. But you forgot about this malacha, that malacha. Actually, you forgot about all the malachos. So, Bishlam le Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Kevin Sheshagag Bekareis Afa Pishis Belav Mishkachalak Agon Diyadal Ala Shabbos Belav. So, this circumstance which we just described, it's really unusual. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least it's explainable. Meaning, how are you waking up Shabbos morning, haven't forgotten all about all 39 malachos, but meanwhile you remembered about Shabbos? What is Shabbos outside of the 39 malachos? Now, I know Shabbos is sitting down at the Shabbos table and having a meal, and we could describe Shabbos in many beautiful ways. But from a halachic perspective, how are we describing Shabbos if you forgot about all 39 malachos? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, actually, it's totally explainable. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the definition of shogeg? The definition of shogeg is that you forgot that it's an iser kares, but you still remember that it's a lav. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we're going to paint the scene very simply. The person remembers all 39 malachos, but only as it relates to the fact that the Torah prohibits all 39 malachos. He forgot that each one of them carries with it a kares penalty. So at least, as strange as a scenario as it is, we can explain it according to Rabbi Yochanan. But according to Reish Lakish, so where, in order for it to qualify as shogeg, you have to have forgotten that it is not only an iser kares, but you also forgot that it's a lav as well. So now when you wake up that Shabbos morning, having forgotten all 39 malachos, and according to Reish Lakish, that means you forgot about them altogether, meaning the fact that it's an iser kares and you forgot also that the Torah prohibits all 39 malachos, meaning you forgot the lav of them. So then, exactly how are you describing today as Shabbos? And again, the niceties of, well, we are going to be sitting down at a meal together. So those are nice. But in terms of definition of Shabbos, in what way do you recognize that today is Shabbos? The other Leila Shabbos b'mai. How exactly do you have a idea regarding Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the idea b'tchumim alibad Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, well, you do remember about the Isser Tchum. The Isser Tchum on Shabbos, one is not allowed to walk out a certain perimeter on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say you're not living within a city, so you can only walk from your point of center 2,000 amas. If you're living within a city, so you go to the city limits, and from there you can only walk outside the city limits 2,000 amas. We'll be spending a lot of time together in Masechet Erevin going over this point in much greater detail. Anyway, according to Rabbi Akiva, this is an Isser D'Araisa. Now, the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Akiva, and they say that the Tchum of 2,000 Amos is an Isser D'Rabbanan, an Isser D'Araisa. But the Gemara says that right now we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, how do you recognize that today is Shabbos? Because what you did remember is that there's an Isser of Tchum, which according to Rabbi Akiva is an Isser D'Araisa. So you now have a background in which you now know today is Shabbos, vis-a-vis the Isser of Tchum. And by the way, Tchum doesn't carry with it an Isser Kares, according to Rabbi Kiva. There's no Karban Chatos for violating the Isser of Tchum. But anyway, so that is how you recognize Shabbos. So there is a way that you could forget about all 39 Malachos according to Reish Lakish, but still recognize Shabbos, and that would be that you remember Tchum according to Rabbi Kiva. Mantan lahadatan Rabbanan. Okay. So now, after having gone over the back and forth, the Gemara continues along the discussion of this machlokas between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish within the Shita of the Chachamim, and let's also reintroduce back again Munbaz, the Shita of Munbaz. A really difficult Shita to process, but according to Munbaz, the case of Shogeg would be where you knew at the time that you violated the Aver that it's Aser, you even remembered at the time that's an Issa Kares, you just forgot about the Karban Chatos. So the Gemara now says, Man Tana Lahadatan Rabbanan. Now let's go over the following braisa together. Shagag Bezeh Bezeh. Let's say you were shogeg both on Shabbos and on the Malachos as well. Zeh shogeg Amar B'Torah. So that is an example that's an illustration of shogeg. He's it Bezeh Bezeh Zeh who made it Amar B'Torah. Now let's say you knew today was Shabbos and you knew that this is a Malacha. So that's a perfect illustration of being amazing. Shagag B'Shabbos V'Hizib B'Malachos. Let's say you were shogeg by Shabbos, meaning you forgot that today was Shabbos, but you knew about the malachos. Oh, shishagim b'malachos v'hizib b'shabbos. Or let's say you forgot about all the malachos, having known that today was Shabbos. Oh, sha'ama yodiyani shemalachazu asura, aval eini yodeh shechayav malav karban olal. Or let's say the person says, I know that this malachos asura, and I know I'm not allowed to do it, I just forgot about the fact that there's a karban, chayav. Under those circumstances, you would be chayav to bring a karban chatas. So, keman kemunba. So the Gemara's question is very simple, and the answer is very simple. Who's the author of the Braisa? And the Gemara says, now that we've been introduced to all of the Shitos, so now we can easily ascribe and assign authorship of this Braisa to the Shita of Munbas. Amar Abaye. How come Modim Mishvuos Bitui? Shein Chayavin Aleha Karban Ad Sheishkog Belav Shabbat. According to the Shita of Abaye, everybody would agree that when it comes to Shvuas Bitui is uttering an oath, in which you are going to say something about the future or about the past. And under the under certain circumstances, the Gemara in Shvuas discusses this in detail, a person would bring a karban chatas for having violated the Isser of Shvuas Bitui. It's a special karban chatas, it's an olah v'yareh. But anyway, let's for our purposes right now, let's call it a karban chatas. So she'ein chayavan alea karban, ash yishkog belav sheba. So here, even though we had a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish within the sheet of the Chachamim, what qualifies as a shogeg, and I'm just going to reset it again. It's so fundamental for today's daf. It just we need to know the sheet is really clear. According to Reish Lakish, the definition of shogeg is that you have to have forgotten both as an Issur Karis and it's a lav altogether. According to Rav Yochanan, no, as long as you have forgotten it's an Issur Karis, even though you remembered at the time that it's a lav, that still qualifies as shogeg. So that's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish within the sheet of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara points out, when it comes to Shavuos Bitui, we have agreement. Agreement between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan that in order for this to be considered a shogeg, you have to have forgotten that the Torah prohibits it. So hakol modeman Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, now, when we say Hakomodim, we mean Rav Yochanan. Meaning here, Rav Yochanan will capitulate to Reish Lakish that you have to have forgotten that it is, in fact, that you have to have forgotten that it is Usr in the Torah. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, now, I think it's obvious why Kikama Rav Yochanan Hechadika Kareis, because the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan is only talking about Shabbos where there's an Isser Kareis. Not just Shabbos, but any Isser that has within Isser Kareis. Avahacha, the Lace Kareis, the Leika Kareis, lo. But consider over here, we're talking here about Shavuos Bitui, the prohibition in the Torah that you're not allowed to make a false oath. Let's say, for example, you made a Shavuos that you're going to eat this loaf of bread, and you swear to it, and then you don't. Or you swear that you're not going to eat this loaf of bread, and you do. And what would constitute Shogeg? Shogeg would mean that at the time when you ate the bread, you forgot that the Torah gave such a prohibition. So here, there is no Isser Kares. So salka dat chamina ho v'chayv karban chidushu de bechol haTorah kula lo ashkachan lav de maisi ala karban v'hacha maisi ki shagag b'karban nami l'chayv. And here the Gemara articulates the havamina. I might have thought as follows: What is the baseline in terms of when a person's going to be bringing a karban chatas? That's only when that's only when there's something which is an Isser Kares. But when it comes to Shavuos Bitui, it is not an Isser Kares. And therefore, I might have thought, and it's just a lav. And therefore, I might have thought that since the Isser Shavuos Bitui is just a lav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in order for this to be constituting a shogeg, so maybe over here, he would slide closer to the Shita of Munbas. And that what would constitute a shogeg over here would be only the situation in which he forgot about the karban chatas. But maybe here too he would be arguing with Reish Lakish. Kamash Malan, as we turn to the Amud Beis. And the Chiddush therefore is that no. That over here, when it comes to the Isser of Shavuos Bitui, where there is no Karis to take into consideration, so therefore Rav Yochanan would come on board with Reish Lakish, and he would say that Shogeg would be that you forgot that the Torah prohibits it. Shogeg would be that you forgot about the lav. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge as we continue now on the Amud Beis. Ezu shiga Shavuos Bitui l'sha'avar. Give me an example of a person violating Shavuos Bitui b'shogeg for something that something happened historically. Shavuos Bitui comes in one of two ways. Either making an oath about the future, like I gave examples moments earlier. I will eat this loaf of bread, I will not eat this loaf of bread. Shavuos Bitui also works for the past as well. Where a person made a shvua that I ate this loaf of bread or I did not eat this loaf of bread. Shim amar yodeani sheshvua zu asura. Let's say the person, this is the Braisa speaking. Let's say the person says that I know the Torah prohibits it. Aval eini yode im chayav la karban olo chayav. I just simply didn't know that the Torah is going to require me to bring a karban if I made a false oath about the past. And the Gemara says this is an example in which a person would now be bringing a karban chatas. Again, karban chatas specific to Shavuos Bitui. Now, who is the author of the Braisa Hamani Munbazhi? So the Gemara says, fine. But that Braisa is going like the Shita of Munbaz, meaning the Shita of Munbaz is that as long as you're shogeg in the karban, that qualifies as shogeg, even though you know that it's prohibited. Okay, the really difficult Shita of Munbaz, but that is the Shita of Munbaz. And now that we know the Shita of Munbaz, we could just simply take the Braisa and align it together with that Shita. We are going to skip the parentheses. We're going to continue. V'amar Abaye, Akom Odin B'Truma She'in Chayav Melech Chomesh Ad Shiyishkog B'Lav Sheba. A non-Kohen who eats Truma B'Shogeg is now subject to the following penalties. Number one, the full amount of Truma that he ate, he's going to make restitution. Number two, is that he's got to take the value of the Truma that he ate, and he's got to now give 25% of it as well. That is what's called Chomesh. The surcharge for having eaten Truma B'Shogeg. And then finally, no, that's it. So and this is only when the person eats Truma B'Shogeg. If a person eats Truma B'Mezid, so then he's subject to the penalty of the Torah of Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And there is no Chomesh to pay. The Chomesh that a person is paying is only eaten Truma B'Shogeg. And so what we're doing now is we're having the same discussion of what is the definition of Shogeg as it relates to the eating of Truma. And the Braisa says, Abaye says, that we are going to have agreement between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that when it comes to eating Truma B'Shogeg and giving definition of what Shogeg is, it means that you have to have forgotten the love of the Torah. You have to have forgotten at the time that the Torah prohibits me from eating Truma. Now, HaKomodim Man Rav Yochanan. Now, the Gemara says, now when Abaye says HaKomodim, he means that Rav Yochanan is going to capitulate to Reish Lakish. So Pshita, Kiyama Rav Yochanan, Hechadika Kares, Hechadaleka Kares, low. So the Gemara says, okay, but I think we would have figured that out. Because again, this Chiddush of Rav Yochanan, that Shogig is that you forgot about Kares, is only when there's Kares. But over here by Truma, there is no Kares. It's only Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Ma'u Detema Misa B'Makum Kares Omedes, V'chi Shagag B'Misa Nami L'Chayev, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, well, over here, you could have made a very strong argument. And that is, Misa B'Dei Shamayim, is it so different than Kares? It's not so different. We've gone over this numerous times throughout Shas. Misa B'Dei Shamayim is a spiritual punishment, just like Kares is. It happens to be a drop less than Kares. Now, if I can try to quantify that, how much less Misa B'Dei Shamayim is over that of Kares, so that admittedly is difficult to quantify. But nevertheless, it is less than Kares. But still, the Havamina would have been that just like Rav Yochanan says, when it comes to an Isser Kares, what defines a Shogeg is where you forgot about the Kares, even though you remembered it's a Lav, that still is going to define a Shogeg. So you could have made the same argument over here, that when it comes to the consumption of Truma B'Shogeg, the definition of Shogeg would be, I forgot about the Misa B'Dei Shamayim, even though I remember that the Torah prohibited. You could have made that argument. And the Chiddush of Abaye, the Kamash Malan of Abaye is that no. Over here, Misa B'Dei Shamayim is not Kares, and therefore, in order for this to be a Shogeg, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to have forgotten in total that the Torah prohibits it. Now, on this last point, Rava Amar Misa B'Makum Kares Omedes V'Chomesh B'Makum Karban Kai. And on this last point, Rava says, you know what? I not only do I hear the Havamina, I love the Havamina. Rava's of the opinion that Misa B'Makum Kares Omedes, that Misa B'Dei Shamayim is, in this regard, tantamount to Kares. And the Chomish payment, the 25% surcharge, so that is B'Makum Karban. That is in replacement of the Karban. And so therefore, we're going to treat this as, according to Rav Yochanan, just like a standard Kares Isser, which means that what would be Shogeg over here? Shogeg would be that you forgot about the fact that the Torah is going to give the punishment to Misa B'dei Shamayim. And when are you going to have to pay the Chomesh? When you were shogeg in the Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay, that is, Rava argues with Abaye on this last single point. Okay, I kind of takes us to the end of our first sugya of today's daf, and with just a quick recap. We have learned this morning the machlokas between, and here I'm going to give a very clear organizational chart in terms of how the debate plays out. We have, so first we'll start with the machlokas atanayim, between the shita of the Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva, one and the same in this regard, and the shita of Munvaz, in terms of what is going to be the definition of a shogeg. The shita of the Chachamim Shogeg is that you have to have forgotten about an aspect of the Isser at the time that you've done the Avera. Meaning to say that the difference between Mezid and Shogeg is as we always thought it was. And that is, Mezid means I know about the act, I know the Torah prohibits it while I'm committing the Avera. And Shogeg is going to be a scenario in which I, at the time, forgot about the Avera, an aspect of the Avera while I committed the Avera. Munvaz takes a really unusual shita, in which, just like by Mezid there has to be a dia, so too by Shogeg there also has to be a dia as well. According to the shita of Munvaz, when a person commits an Avera, he knows the Torah prohibits it, he knows he's not allowed to do it, he knows that the Torah is going to give a punishment in terms of the Avera itself. That is Shogeg according to Munvaz. That's when a person would be chayav karban chatas. Okay, so that is the Machlokas HaTanayim. Within the Machlokas HaTanayim, what the Gemara first articulated was, according to Munvaz, so how is it Shogeg? Meaning, in what way does it define itself as Shogeg? And the Gemara's answer is that according to Munvaz, it's Shogeg because at the time you forgot that there would be a Karban. You were Shogeg in the fact that there's a Karban liability. Okay. The Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say no. For having forgotten that there's a Karban, it does not relate at all to the nature of Shogeg. Good, that's step number one. Step number two, what we did this morning, is that within the sheet of the Chachamim, so we know that Shogeg means that you forgot that there's an aspect of the Isser which is prohibited. And now, it's a Machlokas HaMarayim within the sheet of the Chachamim, which part of the Avera did you forget about? We'll start with Reish Lakish, even though the Gemara started with Rav Yochanan. We'll start with Reish Lakish because it's just simply more intuitive. And that is that according to Reish Lakish, what did you forget about? You forgot about the Isser in total. Meaning that at the time that you committed the Avera, you totally forgot about the Isser. You forgot about the Isser, you forgot about the fact that it's an Isser Kares, you forgot that it's a Lav, you forgot about it in total. That's this Reish Lakish is going to be the definition of a Shogeg, and under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, you bring a Karban Chatas. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says no, that within the Shita of the Chachamim, as long as you forgot about the fact that there's an Isser Kares, that in of itself is going to qualify as a shogeg, even though at the time when you commit the aver, you remember that's a lav, you forgot that it was an Isser Kares. Okay, and then what the Gemara did from that point going forward is just gave us a couple of examples of Karban Chatzis in the Torah where there is no Isser Kares, like the example of Shavuos Bitui, and like the example of Truma, where there is a continued discussion in the Gemara. Would Rav Yochanan agree to Reish Lakish under those circumstances? Okay, good. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're on the Amud Beis. On Samach Tes Amud Beis, and we are going to go through now our next sugya in the Gemara. It happens to be, this is a very interesting discussion. Hopefully, never lamaisa. Amar Rabuna Hayya Mahalech, B'midbar, V'eni Yodei Masai Shabbos. So let's say you find yourself in the desert. Okay, the desert over here, somewhat an extreme example, but basically, you find yourself right now in a place where you simply have no idea which day was Shabbos. You are somewhere out there in the wild, or just simply in a population where no one is recognizing Shabbos. It's hard to imagine. Anyway, it's a more theoretical discussion than practical, but still. Monash Sheshes Yomim Umishamer Yom Echad. So, we start with the Shita of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says that what you'll do now is the following. The first day that you have any kind of conscious thought, so you'll call that day one. Yom Rishon, and then you'll keep going, and the seventh day, so that you'll observe a Shabbos. And Chiya bar Ravuna says, no, here's what you're going to do. Sorry, Chiya bar Rav says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to first observe Shabbos, and then you're going to count 6 days. And the debate over here says the Gemara is, from what perspective do we work with? Meaning, if we work with Briyasa Sha'olam, so obviously it works Sunday through Friday and then Shabbos after. If, however, we take it from the perspective of Adam Arishon, so what was the first day? Well, really the first day that he encountered was Friday. But in terms of the first full day that he experienced, that's Shabbos. And then, after that, there were 6 days a week. Of Yom Chol. Makes for the Gemara challenges. We have a brisa. Hayim mahalach b'derech v'inu yedayim asay Shabbos mishamer yom echad lishisha. So the brisa over here uses a language which is slightly ambiguous. It says mishamer yom echad lishisha. Now how do you interpret that? My love mona shisha mishamer yom echad. So doesn't it mean that you are going to be counting 6 days, and then you're going to be observing the seventh day of Shabbos? Lo, mishamer yom echad amona shisha. So the Gemara says, well, no, what the Braisa could be interpreted to mean is that you're going to observe 1 day of Shabbos and then count six. Ihachi mishamer yom echad lishisha. So the Gemara says that doesn't really fit in with the syntax of the Braisa. The Braisa says, mishamer yom echad lishisha. Mishamer yom echad umone shisha mi baile. If the Braisa was going within the shita of Chiyar Barav, the better syntax of the Braisa would be, first observe a day and then count six. V'otanya, on top of that, we have another braisa. Hayim ha'alach b'derecho b'midbar v'enu yodei emesai Shabbos mona shisha o mishamer yom echad. Now here, there is absolutely no ambiguity within the second braisa. The second braisa is clearly taking the position that you are first counting 6 days and then observing the seventh day. Tiyufta, Chiya Barav, Tiyufta. So this is obviously a refutation of the position of Chiya Barav, and so therefore, when lost in the desert, so the Gemara is right now signing with the Shita of Rav Huna, which is that you're going to count 6 days and observe the seventh. And probably everyone is thinking right now, but wait 1 second. You're guessing what the seventh day is. You don't know that this is the seventh day. How can you now just simply reset the weekly calendar? So that is going to be the Gemara's next question. Amar Rava b'chol yom yom osa lo kadei parnasoso. It's not, the Gemara is not going to really phrase it as a question. The Gemara now is just going to build that into the next assumption of the Gemara. And that is that every day, Osalo Kadei Parnasaso, Bar Me'au Yoma, Bar Me'au Yoma. So here is how you're going to practice now, says Rava. Every day, you work just enough to make a living, but no more than that. And then when the Shabbos comes, so you don't work that day. Meaning, what Rava's really saying is, we really don't know which day Shabbos is. There is a chance that any one of those days that you're working, a 1 in 7 chance that every one of those days that you're working is really going to be Shabbos. And so therefore, obviously you have to live, so you work enough in order to make a parnasa, but that's it. To which the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So now the day that you are observing as Shabbos, va'u yuma lemos, so the Gemara says, now what are you supposed to do on that day of Shabbos? You're supposed to die on that day of Shabbos? So de'avid me'esmo shtei parnasas. So the Gemara says, well, what you'll do is the day before your calendaric Shabbos is that you're going to work twice. So v'dilma me'asvah Shabbos havai. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't work out because what you're calling Friday may in fact be Shabbos. And so now you're working twice as hard on what actually is Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ella. So the Gemara says, scrap that plan and we're going to go with a new plan. And that is called Yom Yom Asolo Parnasaso. Every day you're going to work just enough to be able to live that given day. I feel al yuma, and even on the day which you're calling Shabbos, because as much as that day is Shabbos, meaning you're calling it Shabbos, but as much as that day is Shabbos, but any of the other days has just the chance of being Shabbos as that day as well. Ve'al yuma b'may minkalei, and the Gemara says, okay, now what are you going to do on that day in order to give it a Shabbos status? Because when all said and done, you're treating that day from a parnasa standpoint like any of the other days. So the Gemara says, b'kiddusha v'avdalta. So the Gemara says, what you're going to do is you'll say kiddusha v'avdalta on that day. And even though, I think it's just an amazing halacha, because you're really unsure into whether or not that Shabbos, you're calling it Shabbos so that you will have a platform of 6 days of work and Shabbos. But again, because of this most unusual circumstance that you're in, you really don't even know which day of Shabbos is. So, but just so that you have in your routine 6 days of work and Shabbos, So therefore, what you'll do on that seventh day is you'll make Kiddush and Abdallah, even though you're going to be working that day as much as you're working any other day, so that you will be able to survive. So now the Gemara adds one more halacha into this most unusual circumstance. And that is, let's say, as follows. Let's say, not like what we originally presented, where you just land in a desert with no idea of any kind of time frame. That's the way we presented originally. And so therefore, each day is possibly Shabbos, and so therefore, each day is treated equally regarding the amount of work that you put in so you could survive. Let's say you have the smallest amount of perspective of time. You know for sure that the one day a week that you arrived on was not Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so at least now, from this point going forward, what you can do is you can rule out the day that you arrived as being a non-Shabbos day. And so because you're going to assume that you left on a non-Shabbos day. And so from this point going forward now, you can at least, of the 7 days week that you have, say that one of the days is definitely not Shabbos. And you can work that whole day. So the Gemara says, Pshita, now that seems to be pretty obvious. So the Gemara says, well, can't you build the following into your assumptions? If I'm not traveling on a Shabbos, can't we also say that I'm not traveling on a Friday as well? And the Gemara says, and even if I left on a Thursday, but doesn't that mean now that I can establish that there are 2 days that are definitely not Shabbos days? So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, Zimnin Demishkach Sheres HaMikrev Nafik. The Gemara says, well, it could very well be that, yeah, normally I don't travel on Friday, but it could be that there was a caravan that came, and it was kind of unexpected, but here we are, I have an opportunity to leave today, and so therefore, I'm going to, it could very well be that this person left on a Friday, and so therefore, the only thing that he could say definitively is that today is not Shabbos, meaning there is a possibility that he traveled on Friday. Again, at this point in time, why didn't he remember that? I don't know, but there's that possibility. And so the only thing that he could say definitively is that when the day that I arrived is not Shabbos, because the day that I left is not Shabbos, and that's the only assumption that he can make. Okay. We'll stop over here and let's quickly recap our day. The vast majority of our day dealt with, it's a heavy topic, but it is very fundamental. It dealt with the basic definition of what, in fact, is a shogeg. When is a person going to be subject and liable to bring a karban chatas? So they have the Tanayim arguing this debate, Rabbi Kiva and Munbaz, in terms of what the definition of a shogeg is. And within the Shita of the Chachamim, you have a further subdivision of the Shitas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of what, in fact, defines itself as a shogeg. According to Rabbi Yochanan, let's assume the halacha falls like the Chachamim, not like Munbaz. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the shogeg would be that I forgot that it's in a sakares, but I still remember that the Torah prohibited. I remember the law. And that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, qualifies as a shogeg. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, the shogeg would be that I forgot both about the Isser and about the lav as well. And that is our machlokus this morning in terms of what exactly is the definition of shogeg. It's a very fundamental discussion that took us through most of today's daf, all of the Amud Aleph and some of the Amud Beis. And the second part of the Amud Beis today dealt with the really fascinating discussion, but not so practical discussion regarding what if you find yourself in a place where you lost all perspective and sense of time and you forgot which day was Shabbos, which day now should be observed as Shabbos? The answer is every day should be observed as Shabbos. But to give you a semblance of 6 days of Chol and 1 day of Shabbos, so what you'll do is you'll count 6 days from the time that you have, so to say, come to, that you have regained your conscious thinking. So you'll count that as day number one, and then you'll continue counting 6 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to make Kiddush and Avdallah. In terms of working, you'll work all 7 days because you don't know which day is really Shabbos. So you'll work all 7 days, Kedei Parnasaso, just so that you'll be able to live, because the Torah wants us to live, V'chai Bahem. But at the same time, however, you'll still create for yourself a personal framework of 6 days of work in Shabbos. Ad Kan.